And we welcome you to our Saturday morning program, Down to Earth with Steve Stone. It's brought to you by St. Henry Bank, Hall Brothers Incorporated, Nature's Green Nursery, and Shockman Lumber Company. If you have any questions for Steve about your lawns, your landscapes, your trees, you can give us a call here at the station, 419-586-5133. He'll be more than happy to answer your question on the air. And as always, we are recording this episode, and you will be able to hear it in its entirety on our website, WCSMRadio.com. Steve, Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Bless you, my son.
Thank you. Now, people might be going, what? Steve is a pastor? You are now kind of an ordained minister.
In Ohio.
Ohio, yes.
Ohio ordained.
Officiant.
Yes.
So,
I had to say, we're going to be spending a lot of time together today.
We are. We have some really wonderful people that I know very, very well, getting married this afternoon, and they had asked me to be their officiant, so
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I'm going to be DJing for and this event tonight.
You are going to be the rock and roll guy, so yeah, it's going to be a great evening.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and you know, weather-wise, a lot nicer than yesterday when setting up, that's for sure. So, but other than that, did you have a good week?
Oh, it was excellent. Busy, 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 busy.
Good. Like to hear that. So, again, let's just kind of jump right into today's program. So, it's some nice weather.
This last week, boy, we had kind of everything. We had rain. We had a couple of days, or one day specifically, it was pretty summer-like in temperatures. And then we had some of those mild spring-like days, too. So, we got everything.
Yeah.
In 1 week. Which is pretty typical for Ohio.
Pretty typical for Ohio. And, you know, we're still in April, so, you know, a lot of people might be thinking, when is it going to be a good time? I don't know why that's feeding back like that. When is it going to be a good time for people to get outside and start planting some stuff out there?
Wow, that's a great question. I got, I think, 3 or 4 phone calls or text messages on Thursday, and people were asking me, hey, when can I start planting my annuals? And everybody that reached out to me, I responded, man, I just can't wait to start planting outside. I'm going to start this weekend. Well, besides Saturday, because today is going to be really busy, possibly tomorrow. So I told all the people that were reaching out to me, man, I think we're in good shape. We can start doing our annuals and doing our pots and containers and getting stuff planted outdoors. So that being said, I looked at my weather app today, this morning, and next week, I think on Thursday or Friday, possibly Friday or Saturday. Let me look here real quick. Next week on Saturday and Sunday, and Monday too now, they're calling for temperatures to be between 29 and 32 degrees. So that kind of throws a wrench into the things I was telling my friends and clients that, I'd get out there and start planning. Really need to take that into consideration. This week's temperatures look very beautiful, beautifully mild, cooler than they were last week. Highs in the mid-70s, lows in the 50s, which is wonderful spring weather. But then again, we get into next weekend, and although they're calling for sunny skies, they're calling for some pretty frosty nights. So maybe that changes a little bit what I was thinking as I was trying to help people with their decisions on planting outside. They are calling for some cool nights. So there's certain things, again, if you're doing containers and hanging baskets and things like that, that's stuff that you can, you know, have outdoors and then set inside your garage or your patio or wherever overnight. So again, you can protect them from those cold evenings. Also, there's a lot of different types of plants, like wave petunias specifically, that just will tolerate cold or cool or even frosty nights. And so if you're planting, you know, the wave petunias, which are super popular, the super tunias, or all the different varieties that are out there, they're going to tolerate that temperature no problem. What you want to be careful of would be like warm season type plants, which would be like your geraniums, are not going to be happy with a 29 degree night. In fact, you're going to have some damage for sure. Also, if you're an avid like vegetable type of a gardener, you have got to be careful with your tomatoes and peppers. Those types of crops are just simply not going to tolerate a 29 degree night. You're certainly going to have them either completely croak, or they're going to lose some foliage for sure. Now, you can protect them if it's just a mild evening, you know, again, with temperatures in the, you know, mid 30s to low 30s, a blanket, a sheet, something cloth, not plastic, but some kind of a cloth you can cover those plants with. And if it's, again, in the low 30s, they're going to make it through the evening and overnight perfectly fine. If we get, you know, much more, much lower than 29, you certainly are going to be seeing the potential of damage. So again, when you're out shopping today, I know we were starting to get really busy with retail traffic coming in. Just please look at the forecast and look at your smartphone and be careful and aware of what the overnight temperatures are. The daytime temps are absolutely gorgeous. Things are just growing like gangbusters. We've got that spring weather where we're getting consistent rain. We have very mild, warm and mild days. Grass is growing fantastic. Everything is just doing, you know, wonderful this time of year because of the temperatures. And again, this whole week, the temps look just absolutely, the nighttime temps look great. It's that next, and we're a whole 7 days away from what the prediction is. And so it could very easily dramatically change for the good, I hope, by the time we get to next weekend. So what the topic we're on now could be completely irrelevant by next weekend. But again, great time of year to be out and about shopping and looking at the different annuals and perennials. I know my wife, Nicole, and Carly, my daughter, and all the people that help at Nature's Green have just done a unbelievable job with the growing in our greenhouses. The plants are incredibly healthy and growing and just look wonderful. And we have a lot of really interesting colors and different varieties and, you know, wonderful selection of just all kinds of annuals and perennials this year. So get out to your local nurseries and garden centers and support them and see what kind of goodies and what kind of neat colors and different varieties that you can find out there this year. And just be careful for next weekend to make sure that, again, if you've plant them, you make sure that you can get them through the cold, frosty night and come out on the other side and still look really nice. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
At the St. Henry Bank, we take pride in our community, its farming heritage, and its banking needs, and we're there for you when you need us. Whether you're looking for your next piece of farm equipment or the purchase of seed, fertilizer, or chemicals, the St. Henry Bank can make sure you have the cash flow when you need it most. The St. Henry Bank in St. Henry and Maria Stein, large enough to serve you, small enough to know you.
We take pride in taking care of you.
Visit us online at sthenrybank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Is your lawnmower ready for the season? Well, bring it to Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery for a tune-up. Our expert technicians will make sure your mower runs like new so you can get your lawn looking its best with no hassle. From oil changes to blade sharpening, Hall Brothers handles it all. Don't wait. Bring in your mower today and get back to cutting with confidence. Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, where lawn care comes easy.
And we welcome you back to Down to Earth with Steve Stone. Again, if you have any questions, 419-586-5133. I'm still trying to play with the microphone settings here, so I don't know if you can notice it, but I'm hearing a little bit of feedback, and I'm not sure why. So, looking at the levels, everything looks good. So if you hear Steve's mic kind of maybe change volumes. That's me. It's nothing, nothing that Steve's doing. But don't worry, I'm not taking you completely off the air or anything like that. Everything you're saying is going across. Back to the show. Okay, so you gave me some advice, and I apologize. I have yet to do it. Was too busy. I did not put the pre-emergent down on my lawn yet, like you told me to. Do I still have time to do that?
You absolutely do have time. Normally, in a normal season, and this has been, again, kind of a roller coaster ride with temperatures, and then we have, you know, significant rain events, and so it's kind of been unusual, a little bit unusual this season. But the pre-emergent that you put down in your lawn for, that you need to put down in the spring, and you can start as early as late February, early March, and the pre-emergent is a herbicide, usually a blend of herbicide and fertilizer that you can put down in your yard, and the pre-emergent will eliminate crabgrass and foxtail. It'll eliminate seed from germinating, weed seed from germinating, and then growing in your lawn throughout the summer, midsummer, late summer, and into the fall. The pre-emergent, you typically want that down before the soil temperatures reach about 55 to 58 degrees. With the varying and fluctuation that we've had in temperatures, I don't have my soil thermometer out. Maybe somebody does, and they can tell me what their soil temperature is, but I would have to think that we haven't had a, and it has to be 58 degrees, 55 to 58 degrees consistently overnight, as well as daytimes, to get the temperature up to the point where that seed's going to, that weed seed's going to germinate and grow. I don't think that we've had a consistent amount of temperature, soil temperature, to get things to grow. Now, that varies dramatically. If you're next to a driveway, sidewalk, a brick house, I mean, there's a lot of things that can then adjust or dictate what the soil temperatures are. But again, for the most part, I think if you haven't applied that yet, I would get it done relatively quickly, like immediately. If you're thinking that you're going to get any kind of control with a pre-emergent type of a herbicide for weed control. Now, there are a lot of different formulations that you can get that if you are past the optimum time, which again, it's usually they say April 15th, and I know we're a few days past that at this point, that you want to have your pre-emergent down. So again, April 26th is the date today. So again, depending on the soil temperature, you may still be able to apply that and get pretty good control. Another thing to think about too is all your weed seeds and weeds that might be in potentially in your lawn, they're not all going to germinate in one day. It's going to take a period of time, days and weeks, before those will germinate. So again, you may not get outstanding control, but you still may get some control. Another thing that's very easy to do or to think about is there are products out there. If you're certain that you're past the pre-emergent state, if you've got a soil thermometer and you're seeing temperatures in the high 50s, you can do a pre and post control on those particular weeds. The biggest thing is to, you know, if you're buying the product, and I've said this time and time again, is if you're getting your pre-emergent, usually for homeowners, it comes in granular and it's a bagged type of a product. Just make sure you know what that bag, the amount that's in there and how much it's supposed to cover. And then, of course, you know how big your yard is and how much you're treating, because you need to apply that at the correct rate. You don't want to over apply because that leads to runoff and it's a waste of time and money and possibly, you know, creating some pollution by runoff. If you're not applying enough, if your bag covers 5,000 square feet and you're applying it to your lawn, which is 8,000 square feet, that's going to create some problems because you are going to get lousy control. So you have to think about, again, you know, all those bags that you're buying, the herbicides and fertilizers, are going to tell you on the bag and on the bag tag what is, you know, how it's supposed to be applied, how much is supposed to be applied. And those little tags and the information that's on those bags is actually state law that you're supposed to follow those directly. Not that if you don't follow them, somebody's going to come out in a
goofy looking car or truck and arrest you or write you a ticket. But again, it just keeps the environment clean and safe. And again, gives you specific direction on how that stuff is supposed to be applied. So again, I think you got time. Fertilizer, if you haven't done anything to your lawn yet this spring, I would at least highly recommend giving it some sort of a food or fertilizer to get the grass to thicken up. I put my pre-emergent and fertilizer on about two weeks ago, and it is absolutely amazing what a difference that makes when you apply that, at least from a color standpoint. We did have a relatively mild winter, but I think last summer, especially going into late summer and through the fall, we had a very, very, very dry fall, and we went into winter extremely dry. I was really disappointed this spring when it finally started to warm up, how thin and poor my lawn looked. Again, it was, I have 2 acre yard, so it's not easy to keep it watered. So there were certain areas I kept watered, and there were certain areas I just couldn't. And saw a lot of damage this spring from, I'm sure, drought damage from last season. And with an application of fertilizer, the temperatures that we've had, again, which has been cool, but that's great for growing bluegrass, I've been absolutely thrilled and amazed at how quickly the lawn is healing and filling itself in. So, again, that leads into another topic, potentially, if your lawn is looking a little thin and poor. And I always get people saying, well, you know, do I need to seed that spot? The rule of thumb for me, and everybody could tell you something different, is if your lawn is thin and you have bare spots that are kind of the size of your fist or the size of maybe even a softball or a volleyball, and there's you know, spots everywhere throughout your lawn that look really thin, instead of getting out there and trying to seed all those spots, which could seem like a daunting task if you have a decent sized yard, working that ground up and trying to incorporate seed, you'd be amazed if you just did a heavy fertilizer how quickly those areas will heal themselves in the grass. Especially if you have Kentucky bluegrass, it will heal very quickly because bluegrass spreads rhizomatously. It spreads through underground tillers, and so it will fill in thin spots very quickly and effectively as long as you're giving it the proper amount of water and food. And again, Mother Nature's done a great job with the rain, as they're calling for 3 days, I think, this coming week of showers, which is, again, great for all the new plants that we have in the ground, but certainly doesn't help us much when we're sitting on our hands. It's too wet to be out there working because we have lots to do this spring. But again, the way the weather has been and the way the consistent rain has come, it's just been phenomenal for the lawns to grow and heal and fill in from the drought we had, the droughty fall that we had last year. We need to get to another break, and we'll be right back. Again, if you have any questions, please give us a call here at the station, 419-586-5133.
Nature's Green is getting back to their roots, and they know something about roots. Since 1994, they've been the go-to experts, and now they've combined their landscape, hardscape, and greenhouses in one location, State Route 119 between St. Henry and Fort Recovery. They are the experts to help you make good choices and give you advice. They have top-quality garden plants in the greenhouses now. Nature's Green Nursery Landscaping and Garden Center, State Route 119 between St. Henry and Fort Recovery, on Instagram and Facebook, and naturesgreennursery.com. Years ago, Jeff and Mark Bruns wanted to create the area's most respected lumber company.
Nailed it.
When the community and local sports teams needed support, Shockman Lumber was there.
Nailed it.
When the demand grew, Shockman Lumber grew.
Nailed it and boarded it.
They help design and provide materials for homes, businesses, condos, storage sheds, dairy barns, and even Santa's house.
Nailed it, nailed it, nailed it, nailed it, and ho, ho, ho.
Shockman Lumber on West Columbus and St. Henry would like to thank you.
Nailed it.
I think they get it.
And welcome back to Down to Earth with Steve Stone. And I tell you what, my father-in-law, after 43 years, retiring. And I know that he was pretty excited because they have a lot of trees going down their driveway. They picked up some mulch and mulched around their trees. So is it a good time for people to be out there doing that?
Yeah, this is a time of year that, again, people are excited to be outdoors and get projects done and get the lawn and landscape looking nice for the season. So certainly mulching is usually on everybody's list or top priority. Either do it yourself or find one of your wonderful local nursery landscape guys. Guess maybe I shouldn't say guys, people, to come in and help you with your outdoor projects. Mulching is a good idea, great idea. Can certainly, I mean, not only I think it really looks nice around your house, but also a good mulch will definitely inhibit weed growth. So it smothers or doesn't allow weeds to take over in your landscaping beds. Also, it moderates soil temperature. It also will hold moisture longer in your soil. So when you do get those showers to blow through, you have a nice layer of mulch, and it keeps that that moisture in the ground from evaporating rapidly, so you don't get a lot of peaks and valleys in the soil moisture level in your lawn or in your landscaping. But like anything else, you know, there are issues that you want to be careful with. I mean, mulch can become a hindrance if you put it on too thick. You never really want to put it on any thicker than about 2 to 3 inches. Beyond that, it goes from being a good thing to a bad thing because it gets to be too thick, and then the mulch actually then can kind of knit itself together, and then it becomes like hydrophobic in that it will shed water off the landscaping bed. It doesn't let it percolate in very quickly into the landscaping. So 2 to 3 inches is certainly the max depth. And also, when you had mentioned the trees, you want to be careful with, it's always a good idea, again, if you plant new trees and new landscaping, to put mulch around at 2 to 3 inches, because again, like I had mentioned, it inhibits weed growth and holds moisture. But especially on trees in particular, you do not want to mound that mulch up around the trunk of the tree. The mulch that you mound up around the trunk, if you do that, can actually, again, create a tremendous amount of problems for a young tree. The young trees have a very thin bark, which, you know, older trees typically have the big, thick, chunky bark. The young trees are very smooth, and immediately underneath that smooth bark is the vascular system of the tree that allows the moisture and nutrients to travel up and down the trunk or travel from the roots up to the leaves. And then as the leaves photosynthesize, it takes the nutrients and the food that the leaves are creating and pumps it down into the roots, so it keeps the tree healthy and growing. When you pile a bunch of mulch around the trunk of a tree, you can create the mulch will get moist or wet and stay wet, and you can actually promote disease and decay organisms to get working in that mulch that then in turn can damage the trunk of the tree. And it doesn't take a lot with as thin as the bark is that the thin layer that's on there can get damaged. And then again, what's going to happen if that thin layer is damaged or hurt is it immediately affects the vascular system of the tree. And so the tree can start to decline. And again, you can, done season in, and it's not something that happens like first season, like immediately it's going to croak. But if you consistently, they call it volcano mulching. If you go on Ohio State's horticulture website, there'll be lots of different articles out there about, they typically call it volcano mulching. You know, the mulch kind of shoots up on all the way around the tree on the trunk. And again, that mulch against the trunk of the tree is certainly going to create problems. If nothing else, when you create a mulch ring that looks like that, also when you get rain showers, like I had mentioned just a minute ago, the rain that hits that will shed off very quickly and doesn't allow the rain to, again, percolate down in and around the tree itself. So again, there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, a lot of people think, you know, well, planting a tree is just digging a hole, throwing a hole in, kicking some dirt around it, it's good to go. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it, or that should go into it in the thought process and how that's done to make sure that that tree is going to get established quickly, effectively, and is going to be there, you know, 50 years from now, which it most certainly should be if it's planted correctly and cared for correctly as it's young, and then it gets established and it's going to be there for generations to come. But again, you know, digging the hole the correct depth has a lot to do with its the tree's success too. You don't want to bury a tree. You want to bury the root ball of the tree, but you don't want to bury the tree. You don't want, like I had mentioned, you don't want mulch way up on the trunk of the tree. You also don't want dirt up on the trunk of that tree either. And so whatever the level is when you get your tree, whether it's in a container or it's bald and burlap, you don't want a bunch of dirt on top of that ball or that container tree. You want that to be pretty much perfectly level with the current soil that you're planting it into, because that is, if you plant it too deep, I've always told all my guys, and I tell anybody that will listen, if you plant a tree too shallow, 9 out of 10 times it's probably going to survive. If you plant a tree too deep and bury it 3, 4, or 5 inches deeper than what you should, it's going to croak almost every time. So if you're going to make a mistake, plant it a hair too high than to plant it too deep, because you're guaranteeing it's going to croak if it's planted too deep. I'm looking here. We are out of time. I will talk to you next Saturday. Thanks for tuning in.
This is ONN. ONN Weekend. I'm Kate Burdett. Near Cleveland, a Westlake man was arrested after his girlfriend was found badly beaten in the middle of a street early Wednesday morning. Danita Harris of ONN affiliate WKYC-TV has the story.
Police say the two had been drinking before getting into a violent fight outside a bar. The 22-year-old suspect was arrested at his home later that day. His girlfriend remains in the ICU but is expected to survive. He is now charged with felonious assault and faces a probation violation. Police have not yet released his name.
Wood County voters in Northwest Ohio may notice a slight difference when going to vote in the May election, as officials there are having voters use paper poll books rather than electronic ones. Dan Cummins of affiliate WTOL-TV has more.
Perry County, which is in central Ohio, notified the Secretary of State's office about concerns that the electronic system may not meet Ohio's election security standards. Wood County was one of the counties used in the same vendor. The county was able to make the switch before early voting began, as requested by the Secretary of State. When going to the polls, people will